See, Friendly Radio in Santa Cruz reaches out for a new studio location. We need something urgently. If you provide us with that lead, we have for you $500. Contact us, frsc@freakradio.org. Thank you for your help.
And coming up next, the incredibly educational and sometimes amusing Bathrobespierre's Broadsides, the May 18th, 2017 edition. Stay tuned. A special interview coming up with Mayor Cynthia Chase, and even more important, a report on the intensifying crackdown at City Hall against the survival sleepers under the new no-go zones created by Martine Bernal, city manager, last week.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. of wars and sing me of breadlines. Tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines. Press your observation in syncopation. Sing me a song with social significance. There's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. I want a song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle.
Welcome to another edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris. Call-in number doesn't exist, but you can leave me a message at 423-4833. We are, as far as I know, broadcasting, but we're without a studio. You can help out here and get $500 reward if you find us a location where we can rent a 10x10 space, indoors or outdoors, with connections with internet, electricity, and some place to go poo-poo. $500. Think about it. 423-4833 is the number to call if you either want to make comments on the show that you're about to hear, or if you have some tips about where to find a studio space. Again, a warning to listeners, I'm not the station, and I'm just one of the broadcasters. I've volunteered my phone number for this. We don't have a phone line at the moment because we don't have a studio, but we're hoping to get one again. We've been going for, gosh, it's 22 years now, and we hope to continue even as times grow lean for free radio. So get in touch, 423-4833. You can also find out more about free radio online at freakradio.org, where we also stream. So check us out there, and you'll find archives, you'll find applications in case you want to be a part of free radio. Maybe you want to have stuff you put up on the air yourself. And do it. Join us. Here's a quick shout-out from Nancy Eaton, who's outside herself, I think. At least I run into her under those circumstances. She wanted me to ask if anybody's seen Danny Roberts. Danny Roberts. Because she has his checks and she needs to get them to him. And other than that, she has to send them back. And she'd prefer to pass them on to him before June 3rd. So it's been 2 months since he's picked up his mail. Danny Roberts, get in touch with Nancy Eaton. I don't have a phone number for her convenient at my grasp, but you can call again this number here, 423-4833, if you have any information about Danny Roberts. He's a guy who occasionally goes around in a wetsuit, talks a lot about the Buddhist fly. And it's don't have too much new information. I don't know Danny by name, so I can't give you too much information. But if you have any, call me, 423-4833. So I'm recording the show on Thursday afternoon. We're not live, as I said before, because we have no studio. But around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I got a call from Food Not Bombs activist and freedom sleeper Keith McHenry. Food Not Bombs is a local organization that serves food Saturday and Sunday at the main post office, and also on other days, usually Tuesdays, at the Freedom Sleepers, the area in front of City Hall where folks are trying to get a place to sleep in a city that actually has made it a crime to sleep outside after 11 o'clock at night. And recently, much more intensive restrictions have been put on the City Hall area because of the presence, the embarrassing presence to political authorities, of homeless folks who are sleeping there, what with the ending of the Association of Faith Communities run winter shelter program, and no winter shelter taking its place, or I should say no spring and summer shelter. That's where they go to get out of the rain and the wind, to gather together in a sort of an area where they have more protection because there are other people nearby, and also a place where they get fed occasionally and they get donations from folks. All this apparently has antagonized a city manager, Martine Bernal, who sort of is the boss of the city. You may think it's the city council. You may think it's the mayor. You'd be wrong. As regular listeners to the show know, is my opinion on this. And he has decreed now that people cannot sit down or lie down, even during the day, on any of the city council grounds. And they cannot put their stuff down, even if they're arresting it there. They'll be arrested if they arrest it there. He's also extended the complete no trespassing hours to, I guess, 6 o'clock at night all the way till 7 o'clock in the morning. So that means you cannot walk through the City Hall area. You cannot go look at the City Council agendas, although they've now, of course, moved them out to the sidewalk after they discovered that they were violating the Brown Act by not letting us have access to those agendas. But you can't engage in the normal kind of, let's say, peaceful protest or just socializing that has been standard and typical at City Hall for, since they built City Hall, I would say. Although I wasn't here in the 30s, I think, when they made the new buildings there, then new buildings. This is being done to criminalize protest. This is part of the sinister dark shadow of repression that has been, well, it's been traditional against whenever protests seem to be becoming more effective, as with was Peace Camp 2010, a homeless protest in 2010, which went on for 3 months and actually prompted the city, forced the then city attorney to create the waiting list exception to the sleeping ban. We said if you're on a waiting list for the River Street shelter, then you can get your sleeping tickets theoretically shouldn't be given to you, but they wouldn't agree to that. So dismiss them once you've got them. So cops can come, roust you, move you around, threaten to take your stuff, send you off to nowhere because they have no legal place to send you to. But they can say, oh, well, you see, we're dismissing your ticket, so everything's just fine. It's as though someone came into your house at midnight, insisted you move elsewhere, and then said, see, we're not charging you with a crime, so be happy. This is this was under the mayorship of Don Lane that this was created in 2010, and it's continued ever since. Actually, the sleeping ban was created many, many decades ago and has been a real whap on the in the face of homeless people ever since. Anyway, it's become even worse at City Hall. I called Keith McHenry today to find out what was going on down there because he and activist Abby Samuels called me this morning to report the harassment by rangers and police, which actually people are saying, so what else is new? They've been doing that for months and months there to go after people sleeping there, and that's true, but they now have a new pretext and a new sort of excuse by this new ordinance. It isn't even an ordinance. It didn't go through city council. It's an edict by the city manager, actually through the head of Parks and Rec, Mauro Garcia, that expands the hours and creates, if not regulations, then a kind of a pretext for the rangers to run around and claim that there is a law and regulation, which seems to be what they and the police are doing. This has actually been documented on video by activists Samuels and McHenry and others who have videoed the police and the rangers and first alarm security guards, all of whom kind of operate one after another and sometimes all together, to say, you can't sit here, you can't be here, you can't have your stuff here, you're going to get a ticket, you're going to be arrested, when in fact there's no legal basis for doing this because, aside from the fact that the very laws making it illegal to be at the center of government peacefully outside are simply unconstitutional, the Freedom Sleepers and now the Survival Sleepers. Freedom Sleepers on Tuesday night, Survival Sleepers all the rest of the time. They're usually very overlapping groups, pretty much the same, except the Survival Sleepers stay there longer because they have to. Very few house people, if any, stay there overnight with the Survival Sleepers. Now, occasionally, a few do. But there is the Survival Sleepers, in essence, will follow the rules. I mean, they'll try to sleep under the eaves of the city hall at night sometimes. When it's raining or cold or wet, that's illegal, you see, not because it's any public and health or safety problem, but because it's an edict by city manager Martin Bernal and his flunky Mauro Garcia. And it's a highly paid flunky, I might add. The head of Parks and Rec gets hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in salaries and benefits, while, of course, the homeless get the benefit of a boot in the ass from these people. So let's hear a little bit from Keith and his latest report, which actually, again, happened around 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay, I'm on the line to Keith. Hang on a second, Keith. I'm on the line with Keith McHenry here, who's...
You should understand while you listen to this, Keith is trying to do, you'll gather this very quickly, two or three things at once. He's trying to intercede on behalf of homeless people with the Rangers. He's trying to describe what the Rangers and police and other people there are doing. And he's also sometimes monitoring some phone calls that are coming in.
I've been struggling along with Abby and other activists down at the Survival Sleepers area down at City Hall. Hi, Keith. What's been happening?
Yeah. So there's two women going along with rubber gloves. I'm not sure what their story is. No one's photographing them, but we should. But we'll just...
Here, by two women, I'm taking it Keith means law enforcement officials, whether Parks and Rec or city employees or... police. It's hard to tell. Keith is, as I said, on the scene and kind of confronted with lots of activity happening.
We'll go that particular one right now. And anyway, we don't. Things always are happening here at City Hall, and we need somebody to talk to those women. Can somebody talk to them and ask them what's going on and find out what's happening while we're over here at this radio show?
So Keith, how did this begin this morning? When did you first arrive? What happened?
Okay, so I got a call from Hans that everything was being taken, and they were being told to leave the area, and they could not be on the sidewalk even.
Hans is, I think he's a 62-year-old man, I could have his age slightly wrong, who has been sleeping on the sidewalk after having lost either his job or his housing and spends the day looking for work in different places. He's a soft-spoken fellow who you may have heard me interview, and you probably will hear later in this show from an earlier time. That's who he is.
I'm trying to figure out a way to block what's going on in court, so I've been trying to do that. And then I got more calls, frantic calls, and then so I came down here, and there was a lot of Rangers.
About what time,
Keith, looking, I think, for syringes to prove their...
Keith, about what time was this? Hello?
Yeah, are they looking for syringes to prove that... Yeah, I'm here.
About what time did you come down?
I got down here maybe 10 o'clock, 30.
And to talk about syringes, it means Keith and others defending the Survival Sleepers, myself included, have been concerned about this attempt to hype up paranoia and apprehension and disgust and fear against homeless folks by claiming that there are... this was done some years ago by claiming that there are many syringes being found by groups like Take Back Santa Cruz scouring the Green Belt and looking for them in areas, which it's nice to clean up the area, but to blame poor people outside for a syringe use, although, you know, there's obviously syringe use. There was a harm reduction program in town that's been significantly reduced and impacted by this kind of bigoted sweeping anti, it's really it's an anti-homeless approach. It's billed as an anti-drug campaign, but the homeless people are being blamed for all these, any misuse of drugs or improperly discarded syringes. But the same people seeking to discard syringes don't want, for example, safe boxes put in so that syringes can be safely discarded. And actually safe boxes have been removed from different places. Or if they do want it, I sure as hell haven't heard them advocating for it. Anyway, I mention all this as a sort of a spring off of Keith's mention of, what are you looking for, syringes? Meaning, are you going to look for something you can smear homeless people with? There's a real effort to go after and remove homeless people from City Hall, and I think it's because the protest there is becoming effective. It was a front page story in yesterday's Sentinel, which I call the Scent Anal, because it is the stench of its bigotry can be very sharp and pungent. It's essentially, it's called Moving the Issue, Santa Cruz Forces Homeless Out of City Hall Campus. City Hall is not a campus. It's the seat of government. It's not a college. It's not a closed community, as seems to be the implication of that. And that's the first time I've actually heard it called the campus. It was previously called the courtyard, which I guess it was their way of trying to designate it as a park. And it was designated as a park not because it was a park, just the lawns in front of City Hall, because that gave the Parks and Rec Department apparent jurisdiction to suddenly close it down at night, which they did in 2010. But this is a more expansive closing it to the public. That's everybody, nights and weekends. I see, it's only closed to, it's closed to everybody. That means it's not really directly intended to impact the homeless, which, of course, is tissue paper thin kind of excuse, and the only reason, as is very clear, even from Jessica York's very, I call it a biased article, because the only person she really quotes, other than a very brief mention of activist Sherry Connable, who's never been a freedom sleeper and is not a freedom sleeper, as she was, it was only very briefly. She's not, you know, she's an activist who favors homeless civil rights and speaks up for them occasionally recently, and has done some work historically for that. But the people that are actually there were not interviewed in this article. And it's a long, essentially, series of quotes from Santa Cruz City Manager Martine Bernal, which is full of sort of fatuous diversory statements. You can't really live on the sidewalks here reasonably, obviously. It's not really meant for that, he says. No, it's not. But they're not providing any other places for people to go, and they've closed down all the shelters, and they're making it a crime to live to sleep anywhere in the city. And there's no place is it legally safe to do that. Although the city, perhaps out of embarrassment, has not been ticketing people on the sidewalk outside of City Hall, and now they are starting to threaten to do that with this kind of public statement, bullhorned by Jessica York, without any kind of critical analysis about what the shelter situation is, or who's actually being impacted in terms of the elderly and disabled and vulnerable women. Nothing about that. Just that this is somehow, there's complaints about aggressive interactions between city workers and the public. And then in the morning, when people want to park at the parking meters, they can't. So that I have never heard specifically to be true. And I heard no one has ever been cited, ticketed, or arrested for you know, blocking someone from parking. Nor for a lot of these other claims that are being made. I mean, there have been some arrests for different things, as there have throughout the city for different things. But considering the number of people who gather there, the number of arrests and tickets have been very small. I don't have the stats with me. Sometimes they're a bit hard to get from the Santa Cruz Police Department, who omits things like the race and address of people, so you can't tell if they're poor or not, even though these are required to be presented as part of the public records. Still can be difficult to get. In any case, let's get back to Keith McHenry and his report from, I guess, what is now about 45 minutes ago there. He's been there through much of the day, and here's what he has to say.
Okay, and what did you see when you got there? How many rangers? How many folks?
Oh, there's like six rangers, and then eventually and they were ticketing somebody for littering, which turned out that the people that were being ticketed started yelling at them. Ranger ended up not ticketing them. And I don't know why we are not getting better action out here on what's going down with these.
And just another quick comment. The fact that there's some concern about aggressive behavior in this story by Jessica York in the Sentinel in yesterday's paper, his front page story, and somehow that justifies a crackdown on all kinds of people who have no place to go and no place to gather, but choose that place because it's the center of government. It's where the city fathers and mothers, or supposedly those who have the power to make changes, are. Yelling at officials who are falsely ticketing people or harassing people has become a form of deterrent to the sort of supine obedience that these officials expect. They come in expecting you're going to sit there and say yes sir, three bags full. And when other people say back off, lay off, stay away, as for example union members do outside of a business they're picketing, angrily raising their voices in ways that are in the best traditions of American free speech, worldwide free speech, you don't have to get nationalistic about it. Any kind of, not just free speech, but action where you are trying to change an unjust situation by loudly proclaiming what's going on and also gaining solidarity and making people feel vindicated in speaking up. They don't have to blame themselves for what's happening. They realize the blame does not lie with themselves. The blame lies on oppressive authorities who are trying to impose unjust conditions on them.
People, but we're not. And, I've got another situation going on over here.
Describe it.
Right now.
Well,
we've got a bunch of first alarmers up here. We've got these women going around. I'm going to put you on with the woman.
Okay.
To see what the story is. Because otherwise I'm just out here talking. An ankle bracelet. Oh, cool. Okay. Great. So that's what that is. If we find the ankle bracelet, we will be able to give it to you. We do have this right here, but I don't know if that was part of an ankle bracelet. We know about those. So it's electronic ankle bracelets from a person that's apparently cut it off. And it says clearly, do not cut them off on the bracelet.
Ankle bracelets are, of course, devices used to monitor people who are under some kind of probation or parole condition.
How anybody would do that?
So how many?
But anyway,
Keith, how many people are still there?
Right now, there's really only like five people. Yes, Linda. Oh, Larry's over here. So anyway, there's like four or five people right now, right here, but a bunch of people over at all the other, like at the library, stuff like that.
And are people likely to come back tonight, do you think?
I'm assuming so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, once we started serving food, a lot of people came. And then we've had a person come by that owns property around here, and he was all like, why don't you stop protesting and go down to the, or he actually didn't understand what was going on, but we should go to, we're supposedly getting rats and blah, 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 and all this stuff is going on here, and horrible trash problem, and people protest are here every night, and so on, and then, he was upset. There have been like two citizens that have verbally attacked us so far today.
Now, is the brown sign that previously gave longer hours for people to be allowed to be there still up?
It's still there, no sign, yeah.
Interesting. And this, of course, is during business hours at City Hall. What what claim are the rangers using to ask people to leave, or are they asking people to leave while you're there right now?
And just again, a couple of quick comments. As I've mentioned before in previous broadcasts, the city has put up new green signs, both at City Hall and elsewhere, essentially further limiting hours of use of these areas for anybody in the public, banning people from being there. And they've also put a number of other restrictions which are specifically anti-homeless. But the hours restriction contracts the number of hours where it's legal to be in the City Hall area. But they haven't removed the earlier sign that says that you are allowed there for longer hours. And I pointed this out to Parks and Rec Rangers and said if you want to give people citations, you risk being sued in court for false arrest because there's a confusion here. It's not reasonable to expect people to believe that one sign is to be believed over another. But, of course, that can be taken care of once the signs are eliminated, or the previous, they're brown in color, the brown signs. The comment I want to make is I haven't heard of a lot of people harassing homeless folks there, but this mention by Keith of two people who've already expressed anger at them today kind of brings to mind the fact that the kind of front page story that Jessica York has to be held accountable for on the front page of the Santa Cruz Sentinel, or Sentinel, if you will, and that Martine Bernal, this campaign he is now leading to drive homeless people away, is prompting the kind of hate toward homeless people that political figures like Donald Trump have created against other minorities nationwide. That sucks. Call Martine Bernal at 420-5030, 420-5030, and leave a message and let him know if you agree with this kind of behavior, or perhaps suggest that it's best he perhaps retire to Florida, if not for the summer, then perhaps permanently. Suggest what your opinion is on this issue. 420-5030. If you want to leave a message for the powerless, or should we say, silent city council, it's 420-5020. And I haven't heard council members Brown or Crone speak out about this issue publicly recently either, nor have I seen them down there. So there are people to call. Again, the number for the city council is 420-5020.
Well, when we came, they kind of scattered. In fact, they stopped writing Janelle the littering ticket, in part because Janelle and everybody was yelling at the ranger for hassling them for a coffee cup that blew off. You know, that somebody was actually holding, then put on the ledge, and then it blew off. It wasn't Janelle's. It was Lisa's cup. It fell over into the, off the side. It's just one of these typical things where every little tiny little thing they just jack people up for. So that's what's going on.
Keith, have you actually seen any of the citations written either today or in the last few days at City Hall?
No, I haven't seen any of the other citations. No.
Because I understand that.
And that one, they ended up, he just folded up his book and didn't end up writing it.
Now, are the police involved, and how involved are the first alarm people?
Well, they just arrived, just three of them just arrived. They did have a few cops come by, and there was, like I say, when I came here, there was a bunch of rangers, and then Monica came out and talked to them. We've had Martine go by a couple of times, Martine Bernal.
You're also working on a proposed temporary restraining order to stop this kind of enforcement yourself, and planning to take it over to federal court in San Jose if you can catch a breath to do it, right?
Yeah, that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get some lawyers just to review it. I get it pretty far along. I haven't emailed this to you yet, but I've done a, based on the input from one attorney who is trying to help, but he can't really help because he's on his way to some other place. I've been trying to hobble this together.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's getting pretty close.
Now, what about?
With the one attorney, I'm not getting a lot of support for it yet, unfortunately.
Now you say
and
that,
then,
Keith. You say
I'm trying to do that. Yeah.
Keith, you say that when you were serving people food, of course, Freedom Sleep Out 97 just happened. It was quite successful, I understand, on Tuesday and Wednesday morning.
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
But, I mean, are you planning to come back and serve more food? I know Food Not Bombs is pretty strapped.
Oh, we're serving food right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. We came here at 10:30 about, and we've been serving food the whole time. We set up. So I've set up my whole operation, and I'm going to even set up a greater operation once, first of all, Chris comes by and gives me all the mushrooms he's bringing that he picked up in the mountains. And then I'm going to go to get more supplies and then do a larger operation here in a short while.
I know the folks are talking about some kind of protest on May 23rd at City Council in a week, and there were 100 people on May 9th, but are any of those folks showing up to help you? I know that when I tried to help you with a phone chain up here, all I got were answering machines. I guess one of the old-time faithful activists who just never gives up, Zav, came by. But are other activists showing up to help? What's the feeling?
Yeah, we've had 3 activists show up. Because I had to go away to a meeting with Abby for an hour. And so they were here. There were a bunch of cops came and did a bunch of stuff while I was gone. Which I don't know what the details are, because then you and I started speaking on the phone. So that's where that's at. And people did come, and we need more people. And I think I posted an announcement on Facebook, but I'm not so clear I actually did. And I think I posted video of the cops arresting Janelle and Billy.
Where would that be?
Sure I did.
Where would that be? Keith, where would that video be if people want to find it?
Right now, it's only on Keith McHenry's Facebook page, if I actually, in fact, did it. And then it will ultimately be on Freedom Sleeper's Facebook page if I get back to a computer.
Any message to the community you want to put out? I know you're really strapped, and we're going to make this a 5-minute interview. We're getting a little longer. I don't want to press you too hard. So what? Anything you want to add?
A lot more people down here. We need people with video cameras, and we need people to sleep out overnight tonight. And the main thing is we need people to, these are actually cops, not first alarm people. So we need people to come out here, you know, at City Hall. The thing is that there's a relatively small number of people, like they're building these huge stories about the rats and the trash and all this stuff, and none of that is actually. You know, I mean, it can get trashy here, but then people pick it up. The actual people living out here have been generally pretty good at that. It could be a little better, but it's like no more or less trashy than it ever has been, you know. But the issue is that I think people should start to be aware of the fact that a lot of people that are against what's going on here could themselves be moving here and living in front of City Hall themselves. So, you know, it's not like.
I think by that, Keith means that the rents and the economic conditions are such as likely to prompt increasing homelessness, and that folks are going to find themselves in that situation.
Everybody's really safe and from ending up not on the streets. I mean, we had 2 people this week that I met that are engineers who became homeless because of. One, a disability check ran out, and they didn't pay their rent eventually, and then they hit the street. I think even their mortgage is what they were trying to pay, and they hit the streets. And then, these are well-educated people with, like, pretty good careers that have ended up homeless. Somebody taking pictures of them. Because I can't be taking pictures of everybody and talking on the phone at the same time.
Should I let you get back to the picture taking there?
Yeah, I got to take pictures all the time, and I can't do it.
All right, get back to that picture taking, but remember to do commentary as you do, because that helps the pictures.
All right, cool. Okay.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. I better go, because this is crazy.
No problem.
Pictures and I'm here. Okay,
thank you, man.
Keith's point was the more people he can get to come to City Hall during the day now, because that apparently is when the harassment is happening, not just during the night when it's more difficult for house people to come, particularly house people with jobs. I guess it's also hard during the day, but perhaps people can fit things in. Also, I got a call from Abby Samuels around the same time, another Food Not Bombs activist, who mentioned that proposed a possible daily protest there, which I've actually been I suggested that 2 years ago, although it's really hard to arrange the logistics and get the person power to do it. But it can, I think, get the goods. As I said, the 2010 Peace Camp 2010 protest there created the waiting list exception, which says if you're on the River Street shelter list, then your ticket supposedly gets dismissed, which was still been very hard to implement, but it's been a benefit to a number of people. And that was a consequence of the protests that went down, in spite of the different kinds of attacks you may hear on protests, both from the right and the left. The protests do have consequences, and hopefully this will have consequences, too, of a positive kind. In the past, I've talked a lot or a bit about the impact of protests. I don't really talk about it a lot because I'd like to see more impact, and I don't like to brag about baby steps that happen because of protests. But I think historically protests in a number of areas have been successful, and many of them have not been successful, too. I mean, that's always something to consider, sort of the risk-benefit analysis that you have to run. But it's being proposed now that this be expanded. It's often true, for example, if you have continuous protests there, that tends to make homeless folks gravitate there more. It creates more of a center of focus, media focus. The issue becomes far more pressing. It can't be simply written off with a phony little report about, we'll look at this later, which is how I described the homelessness report by Chase, Naroyan, and Comstock that came out at the May 9th City Council meeting, and supposedly is coming back at the next meeting for some kind of, actually, I think it's at the budget hearings. They claim they're going to be appropriating money for these issues, and we'll see very soon whether this is blather or a substantial truth. We'll see about that. Let's take a musical break. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. My show is called Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. The call number, if you want to leave a message or commentary about the show, or you want to be on the show, or you want to get involved with Free Radio, or with HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, or the Freedom Sleepers, give a call to 423-HUF, 423-HUFF, 423-4833.
Fear in my heart, miss you so much. Oh, I'm lost and forlorn. Know how I wish you just come take me home. Cause the light it is fading, and I'm weak and confused. And I've never felt so ashamed and I have on me, they are tattered and worn. My hair, it is tangled, ain't been washed in so long. And I know you won't see me, I'm lost to you now. Just wish I could come home, fixing some. Nobody sees me, my pride it is gone. But the street stood to someone who once was so young. Just to take all their goodness, their fun and their charm, and give it to someone who just do that. This pain will be lifted by the mere sight of you. And you'll tell me you love me, and you'll take me away, back home to the memories that I think on each day. So I'll walk in the shadows, and I'll live for today, and I'll keep my eyes open when I hope and I pray that you'll come to get me when I'll hear you say, you're my little princess, I'll take you home. Stay.
That was an online song about 5 years old. According to the commentary, it was inspired by a young girl who the writer came across begging in Dublin city center, and it got him thinking about her life and what her story might have been. I think it's Tom Byrne is the guy who wrote this song. Hope you've enjoyed the song. It appeals to you if you're out and about and see someone in need. Take a moment, try to remember to help somehow. And he realizes none of us can help everyone. Remember, each of us can help someone. And it's the old, wah, wah, ain't it a shame kind of song. I got to admit, I played it without hearing it first. But trying to play a few new songs on this show. So sometimes you get the laments. And it is a lament, I imagine, for sure. But I don't know if that's very helpful. But I don't know. You have it. Now let's turn to an interview with Mayor Cynthia Chase. She's been mayor since December. She was elected 2 years previous. And I guess there were people who had hoped she was going to be a liberal. But in terms of homeless issues, she has not been. She helped to vote down any changes in the sleeping ban last spring, I should say. I guess we're still in spring, so it was spring of 2016 that Don Lane proposed. A very limited change. It involved eliminating the word sleep from the camping law, which for years was something I pushed and still think it's a good idea and a good thing to do. But of course it's completely insufficient as in terms of dealing with even the criminalization of the homeless, not to say nothing of the shelter crisis, but if you want to remove the criminalization, you have to remove the criminalization about being in parks. You have to remove the criminalization about resting during the day. You have to essentially return the city ordinances to the condition where, unless someone's doing something that's a violation of public health and safety, and not just looks bad or smells bad or offends the merchants or frightens paranoid conservative residents or annoys the city staff, then you haven't really made any changes. Anyway, I didn't have Chase's record when I went in to talk to her, and frankly, I didn't expect much from her. She was quite patient, perhaps is the word, because I was quite critical of her. I don't spare politicians, or I try not to. You know, I turn my back on them at city council on occasion. I shout at them as they walk by every so often to ask them questions. I've regularly insisted on the email to Sandy Brown that she keep her commitments to forward some meaningful questions and requesting public records from city staff, which she can do without any kind of city council vote, promised to do 6 weeks ago, still has not done, and shows no indication of doing in spite of many repeated agreements to do it, and I'm so sorry I didn't do this, and I've really been working very hard, and she's not lying. I think she's telling the truth. She's really overburdened, but she's not keeping her word, and it's a matter of a 5-minute deal to send for these emails off. So, and I've talked about them before. I'm not going to talk about them at length now. Let's hear Cynthia Chase. I may interrupt occasionally, but I'm probably just going to let this interview run and speak for itself. This is going to be Cynthia Chase at City Hall. It was about it was the beginning of this week. It was on Monday that I did this interview. I hear another voice in there toward the end of the interview. That would be activist Wes White from the Salinas Union of the Homeless, the Monterey County Homeless Advocates Alliance, or some such. I think that's what it is. He often comes over, and he was videoing the interview, or part of it that he came for. Mayor Cynthia Chase.
So it's May 15th. I'm with the at the city council offices, about 11:04, 3, and waiting for Mayor Chase, who's about to come back from a bathroom break and begin a chat for Free Radio and possibly for a video if Wes White and his cameraman Dredd show up. The city's bathrooms are not open, according to the staff, and it's midday.
And that was kind of a peripheral comment. The city's bathrooms, which have been, I think, traditionally open during the day, have been closed with a little sign, vandalized, or vandalism, or closed because of vandalism. But in fact, come city council time, they're always opened up, and they don't look vandalized at all. So this is the latest smear job on the homeless, or you might call it extreme caution, although it has the consequence of people that get less resources and are more likely to take a piss in the bushes or a dump behind a bush. Mayor Chase, of course, has her own private staff bathroom, as do all the staff workers at City Hall.
I'm in the office with Mayor Cynthia Chase here, and I hope you can hear me. Morning, Cynthia.
Good morning. Do you want me to move it closer to you?
I'll
lean in.
Yeah, okay. No, that's good.
Okay.
So, just to begin with, you know, my main focus is civil rights for homeless people.
Yeah.
And other issues, too, like public access to city council. But why don't you tell me, we see the appearance of, you know, new signs that criminalize being anywhere in the city area or the library area, except during business hours. Have you received any complaints in the last week? And if so, what have those been that might have prompted this rather draconian approach?
Have I received any complaints from, like, the public or, like,
anybody
in support of? Or
from Martine. Cries of anguish outside the window, whatever.
Yeah. So there have been actually a lot of complaints that have been coming in to council and mostly to the city manager's office and human resources, but to council as well.
In the last week?
In the last week, yes.
And what
were those complaints? mostly it's from park staff, but there's some other staff as well who've been saying that they have not been able to complete their jobs, that they don't feel, they both feel...
what job would that be?
Depending on the position that they're in, if it's like clearing, you know, the parks, if they're weeding or they're doing leaf blowing or if they're doing raking or trimming the lawn, basically landscaping work, mm-hmm. that they are not able to do those things.
So people have used that specific complaints that individuals have obstructed an individual from, let's say, leaf blowing or from pruning or something like that. Now, are these written complaints or verbal complaints?
I've gotten phone messages, written complaints, and then people have stopped me, like staff have stopped me when I'm coming or going from...
So you've been there since December.
Yeah.
And what I want to get from you, if I can, informally, is a copy of every written complaint you've received from the staff or from the public about problems at City Hall, because I think this might better help the community to understand if they agree with you or don't.
Right.
With these new regulations, which are unprecedented. I've heard of no city in the country that bans people from its city hall area during the afternoon hours after the close.
Yeah.
Or that suggests that you can't set down a backpack during hours where you're there, which is clearly intended to penalize people who are homeless and poor, because they're the only people who need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you oppose that specifically? Or do you support that particular regulation?
You know, I think all of this is incredibly difficult. I mean, I don't, in general, support things that are targeting a specific population of individuals. I think that's problematic. And, I mean, the bigger thing that I've been talking a lot about is, you know, what is the ultimate outcome of this?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, at best, it's moving around individuals.
But
it's not actually solving it.
Do you support this regulation?
I'm really challenged by this.
Does that mean you oppose this regulation?
I'm not exactly sure where I land on this yet. I think it's...
You don't know
I think
how
it's,
you stand on this regulation.
I think that's a fair statement.
Hopefully, without my glasses, so I can read this list of silly things I have here. Is there anything you want to report that you think would be news to folks who are outside or people who support them? As you know, there's another council meeting coming up in a week and a half.
Yep.
We just emerged from this 3.5-hour, what I regard as blabathon, about a report which I actually have with me here,
mm-hmm.
which makes no substantive recommendations in terms of deadlines or appropriations. Correct me if I'm wrong, except for one, Homeward Bound. I think there's a $25,000 or a $15,000 appropriation. Otherwise, every single recommendation has no financial specifics attached to it at all.
Right.
So, but that is what we just came out of. Do you have any news or thoughts about what's coming up, things you want to announce to the community that they might be aware of?
Well, I mean, just to speak to the point about the allocation, the reason that that's in there with a specific amount is it's the only thing in there that's currently funded. So it actually has a line item amount to it. And part of the discussion during the Homelessness Coordinating Committee was actually a potential of increasing that. And so it made it in there with remaining it at that level. So that was an important distinction.
So it's like saying it was not... You're not going to increase it, is what the rest of the report in essence was saying.
Correct. Yeah.
And then we call this more of an anti-homelessness coordinating committee report because it doesn't have anything specific, but it has to deal with the public anxiety about these issues, and so it has to reassure the community in some way that something's being talked about and will be talked about some more. See, this is the concern of a lot of us, as you heard this from me.
Well, I mean, I heard concern about that, but I also heard a lot of support for that, and I disagree with you that it's an anti-homelessness coordinating committee. And the reason why there's not dollars on it is because budget hearings are in a week and a half from now. So that's where we'll actually decide the budget allocations, and because many of these things are partnerships, there's other fund sources. So it's not just city budget that's going to fund these things, so there isn't really a way for us to put specific amount on it before we know the partners. And
however, you
able
could,
to.
For example, put a minimum on each of these items and say the city will decide to at least provide this much, and you have chosen not to do so.
No, we actually chose to do that on the 23rd, so that'll be done then.
So, but not in this report.
Well, it wasn't relevant at that time because the budget discussions aren't until the 23rd, so it doesn't make sense to make predeterminations prior to the budget discussion, which is on the 23rd.
Still, the sooner you give the community a peek at what you and your group, which many of us view as anti-homeless, not necessarily you per se, but we're talking about the council majority, more concerned with eliminating the visible homeless from the downtown, the city hall, the library, the Pogonip, every single park at night, all vehicles at night, everywhere you can imagine, under the rubric of public safety, where they create the crime of being asleep at night is a crime, therefore they're all criminals, you've got to get rid of these criminals. This is the rationale that is being used, and so you're part of that majority, generally speaking. I mean, there have been exceptions, but generally speaking, and I'd love to hear about those exceptions, by the way, because I think that's important to me. But more important, or as important, is the fact that if you go along with this stuff, then unfortunately, I get to tar you with the same brush.
Well, but so I guess my question to you then is, if we had put dollars on this, would this then not be an anti-homelessness coordinating committee?
It depends on how much you put in and when you put in potential deadlines. It was clear from the last page, as I mentioned to you, actually when I spoke to you, you were excluding things that were specifically the subject of this report.
Can I keep this?
You can. I can print out another one, but it's online.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you want it? You can, if you think it'll be helpful for
I do think it'll be helpful for me. I mean, it's just, if it's right here in my fingertips, then that's easier for me.
And what I'm talking about is the Homeless Issues Task Force report. The report that was done 17 years ago at the crest of homeless activist activity that actually elected three council members who committed themselves to ending the sleeping ban and then didn't. Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar, and another council member, then Mayor Catherine Byers, who had repeatedly said she was in favor of ending the sleeping ban, but didn't. But it was a task force that was created as homeless people were sitting in city council, bringing their sleeping bags, lying down. At one point, they even took over the city council chambers. It was quite an active time, and as a consequence, the city council created this task force, which actually it was a way of diverting homeless activist activity, but it also came up with some good proposals, some of which, as I point out here, were things such as the total elimination of the camping ordinance, which there was such a strong swell of civil rights concern and awareness of police misconduct and abuse and violence against the homeless that even the representative from the Harvey West Association and the representative from the Downtown Association favored ending the entire camping ordinance and proposed it as an emergency ordinance. My point to Chase in this discussion was that this entire proposal, backed unanimously by the Homeless Issues Task Force and those different groups in the community that supported it, wasn't even up for any kind of discussion. Criminalization was not an issue. They decided, according to Rochelle Naroyan, it would be too controversial to do that. Didn't want to dispute things. And so it's like everybody agreeing that, you know, oh, I don't know, climate change is a myth, that violence against the homeless is unavoidable, that there is no way of providing meaningful shelter except possibly down the road if you can get the county and the feds to provide enough money sometime, somewhere, somewhen. In other words, a whole series of reactionary agreements that exclude the real necessities of life and the realities of the current day-to-day needs of homeless people. Anyway, she wanted to see a copy of this report. I gave it to her. She went and made a copy of it. Now she has a copy of the Homeless Issues Task Force report, which I referenced to her days before in an email. So it wasn't like I sprung something on her. And I also mentioned it, of course, at the city council meeting 2 weeks before that. It's You might say it's really hard to get the attention of these politicians. But when they claim to be speaking authoritatively and they're on committees that are specifically dealing with these issues or heading those committees, as Mayor Chase was, it's a little harder to forgive or justify or excuse or understand.
What we're looking at, you can't see through the radio, is this is the task force report from the Homeless Issues Task Force funded by the Santa Cruz City Council lasting 6 months, which went from 1999 to 2000, headed by Chair Linda LeMaster, secretary by Don Lane at that time, co-chaired by the fellow who was running the homeless, what I call now called the Lack of Services Center. It had more services in those days, or at least it allowed people to eat food that were not simply there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, you're pointing out, what are you pointing out there?
Just the date. I just wanted to make sure I knew what date it was.
Yeah, and it's... some of the topics, can you turn back to that main table of contents page, have to do with expanded armory. Armory was the winter shelter at the time. Family shelter, which was created.
Mm-hmm.
Use of vacant bays at the Homeless Services Center for, let's say, storage. I think that's what that was about, although I'm not sure. Safe sleeping zones in Santa Cruz, which was actually voted in by the city, but then turned around at the second reading. Because of a campaign by the Harvey West Neighbors Association and other neighborhood groups. Emergency hotel vouchers for homeless people, which, by the way, homeless people have talked to me about in the last 3 weeks. Homeless women, some of them really fond of sleeping outside in the morning when you walk by them. Cherie is there.
Yeah.
You've seen her. She's on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
She asked me specifically to say, why can you provide motel vouchers for us? You know, rather than, I don't know, fancy consultant fees for these clowns who want to build high-rises or, you know, expensive apartments, not high-rises.
Right now, is this just, I mean, this is only for people who are medically fragile, right?
You know, you ask a good question, I don't have an answer. And in those days, I think they were primarily given to people coming out of the hospital.
Okay, right? So I think it's the same thing.
But there could have been a broader sweep, I'm not sure.
I think you're right. I think it is... just people coming out of the hospital. I'm not sure if it's been expanded to people who are medically fragile. I thought for a period of time it was that, but I think it still might be tied to release from the hospital.
But again, none of this appears in any of this here.
It's true.
And if we go on, we find letters and camping citations. Now, this to some extent has been a little addressed, but it's actually gone backward. So, for instance... the Homeless Lack of Services Center used to provide letters. If you got a camping ticket, you went in there and said, I got a camping ticket, was there any place to stay that night? I got a ticket. They would say no, because there almost never was. You would take that letter to the court, Kim Basket, and then the commissioner in the basement would say, case dismissed.
Right.
They don't do that anymore. You will not be able to get a letter because they want you to be a part of their little machine program, which gets grants from the governments, including yourself. Or should say your city government. Instead, of course, they have the waiting list exception, which you may be familiar with. Maybe not.
So now, talk me through the process then of what's happening now.
It used to be, when this was passed, after massive pressure from homeless activists over the period of years, Don Lane always opposed it, finally got it passed. It stated specifically that if you're on the waiting list of the Pauley Loft or the River Street Shelter, then all camping tickets will be dismissed, or actually not even taken to court, so the attorney won't file them. And also, it will not be a crime for you to be sleeping outside. The police have never acted to say, oh, you're on the waiting list, we won't give you a ticket. They never do that. And the city attorney will tell you, oh, it's just an affirmative defense in court. So if you're charged with a crime, you could say, no, I'm not criminal because, see, it says here in the law it's not a crime. But of course, what I would like you to agree to do, or say you don't want to do, is specifically to stand up publicly and say, I would like to see that anyone, before any police officer tells any homeless person to move at night under the threat of either the no trespass law, unless they're prepared to give them a legal place to go, or... the sleeping ban generally, because no matter where they go in Santa Cruz on any public property, it's a crime after 11 o'clock at night. They contact the Homeless Lack of Services Center.
And again, to clarify, the no trespass law that I'm referring to is the no trespass on public property. I'm not suggesting, although perhaps someone should, that trespass on private property should be ignored, though considering huge amounts of area that are private property and the kind of privileges given to private owners, I begin to wonder about that. But I was only referring to the public domain, and that would be the areas that are the so-called parks that are actually just the areas that are labeled parks, but often have nothing to do with parks, but actually are simply run by, under the thumb of Mauro Garcia, and above him, Martin Bernal. And in those areas, there are these closing laws, increasingly restrictive, as of the last week or two, that make it illegal to be there, I guess, after sunset. And at City Hall, it's after 6 o'clock at night. Those are the trespass laws I'm referring to that also are as important as the sleeping and camping ban, because it's very well not to be arrested for sleeping, but which means you won't be arrested if you're walking around sleepwalking, or if you're sleeping standing up, or if you're sleeping sitting down on a bench, perhaps, although it's illegal in Santa Cruz on the Pacific Mall to sit on a bench for more than an hour. So if you sleep for more than an hour during the day when it's legal to sleep, that becomes a crime too, on those benches. This is not just sleeping, but it has to be a place to lie down. And until such places are created, such as campgrounds, you need to make it legal to lie wherever you need to lie on public property, provided it's not some sort of a health and safety hazard. And people are saying, oh, no, then they get to be anywhere and everywhere. And the answer is that if that is met, if it's, that's actually what the courts could rule. They could rule you can't enforce a law that criminalizes it broadly. That would force the city council to create the campgrounds that they have claimed throughout history are so impossible. They can't find any places. There's just no place for them, as former Mayor Catherine Byers wanly exclaimed in 1995, actually, when she and Celia Scott, another mayor-to-be, supposedly did a six-month survey of campgrounds and just came up with nothing. Hard to believe, folks, in a Santa Cruz scene. Homeless activists have presented these folks then and since then with more than a dozen places where people could go, ranging from the Poganip area, including the clubhouse area, Sycamore Grove, to San Lorenzo Benchlands, the West Park, large green space, open space areas. And in fact, of course, San Lorenzo Park became a de facto campground for 2 months during the Occupy movement. No one died. There wasn't much real damage done to the area. I mean, it had to be reforested afterward. But the benefits of a community being able to be near each other and protect each other, even though there were a variety of subcommunities, some used drugs, some were, you know, more violent of disposition than others. But the amount of police calls, the amount of injuries and assaults compared, let's say, with stuff that happens when you're alone elsewhere in the city, it was my impression, was far less.
So if you're charged with a crime, you can say, no, no, I'm not criminal because, see, it says here in the law it's not a crime. But of course, what I would like you to agree to do, or say you don't want to do, is specifically to stand up publicly and say, I would like to see that anyone, before any police officer tells any homeless person to move at night, under the threat of either the no trespass law, unless they're prepared to give them a legal place to go,
right,
or the sleeping ban generally, because no matter where they go in Santa Cruz on any public property, it's a crime after 11 o'clock at night, they contact the homeless lack of services center and they say, do you have a bed for this person tonight? Or anywhere else they want to call.
Right, okay.
And if they can't find that, and it's very easy to set up such a line, communications line, it's just been declined, both by the Homeless Lack Services Center and by the city, for obvious reasons, in my view, which is, and I don't have any paper trail, but it seems to me they don't want to be in a position of giving homeless people the defense that says, leave me alone until you can give me a home, or at least a place to go.
Right.
You know, you have no right disturbing me. If I come into your house and wake you up and say, you're illegal, you got to move along, you say, what the hell are you doing in my bedroom? Get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're homeless, you can't do that. Instead, you move along. Particularly, and then, of course, you're disabled and you're poor and you're old, or you're high on drugs and coming down not feeling very good anyway, or you're having an alcohol problem. Anyway, so my question to you is, will you publicly advocate for this very simple idea,
yeah,
which was presented 7 years ago by Ed Fry, by all kinds of activists?
Well, I think that there is another procedure, though, that's in place right now.
What do you think?
Well, that's what I need to get more information about. So, I just need to get more information, and then I will get an answer to you.
No other procedure, but, you know, maybe it's mysterious. Maybe I'm unaware of it. It's possible.
I'm going to make my list of follow-up questions.
Will you agree to, if there is no other procedure in place, will you publicly advocate for this?
Well, I just need to find out more information on this, and I'll get...
No, until you find out more information. I'll get the clearance.
Sure.
So the answer is no. And it's really important to get past the smiles, the charm, the real interest in helping out, but not in taking a strong position. She's had 2.5 years to get some real new information on this. It's been brought up repeatedly at City Council, at least by activists like myself. She hasn't apparently had the interest to do anything about it up to now. Admittedly, she has many things she's presumably charged with doing. But all I was asking was, if you find there are no other alternatives, will you advocate for it? And she will not give me a yes answer. And that to me is really all I was looking for from her. I'm looking for yes answers, of course. But even when I get them, as, for example, from Sandy Brown, sometimes yes really means no. Even though the person giving it isn't trying to lie to you and isn't really confused about the issue. It's just they are subject to pressures, or they are in a position of power so they can afford to say yes and then go no later. That's unfortunately the danger of folks in power.
So, there's other things in here which are interesting, and I'm going to pass this report on to you. You can see my accountant about paying for this 50-page report. I should probably charge what the city does, 25 cents a page.
If I can make a copy before you leave, or I can just go and get it. I mean, I can just get it online.
Well,
it's just nice to have it right in front of me.
No, I mean, if you think you can use it,
I can use
it. I'm happy to leave it with you. Gloomy though I may be about the prospects of your actually doing something.
Come on, Robert.
I'm not trying to be mean to you.
I don't feel like you're being mean to me.
No, I'm trying to be realistic. And I think, you know, your record speaks for itself. I don't see you turning around in the middle of the midstream. But if you do, of course, you get a pat on the back. But I don't think that's going to mean a hell of a lot compared to the brickbats you'll get from other quarters.
Well, I want to go back to the thing so I can make sure to follow up on that specific item.
So some other questions here. Do you currently support the posted signs that make it a crime to be anywhere at City Hall after 6 o'clock at night?
Didn't we cover that already?
What is it? I mean, maybe we did, but just tell me your answer.
Yeah, I mean, so...
Come in.
Hi.
We have your camera guy.
Okay.
But I just asked
yeah,
you, will you oppose, will you demand that these signs be removed so that people do not have to feel in fear of losing their, well, first of all, so they feel if they walk into this area after 6 o'clock at night, they don't have to fear getting a citation if they're a member of the public or a person who's outside.
Well, you know, I think the challenge with this is I've been trying to sort of find, like I often do, where is the balance in this? Because staff have been complaining about this. Staff have said they don't feel like they can do their job. They don't feel safe, not around everyone, but around certain behaviors. And so I think that we have to have something that really is responsive to both staff and individuals who are coming in from the public. You know,
yes,
I'm not sure if this is the best solution to that.
Do you support it at the present time?
I feel like we need to It's a real tough one.
Well, I mean, it sounds like, unless you're going to say you don't,
right,
by de facto you do. And I mean, it's obvious,
right,
if any of these staff members had a real problem, they could have called the cops and gotten a citation written. So obviously,
yeah,
the complaints they had are part of a general attempt to establish an aesthetic here at City Hall and restore it to its pristine beauty, rather than to actually go after individuals who may be responsible for, you know, real problems.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. As far as I know, I have not, except on very rare occasions. So
I think it does happen. I know it does happen. And my understanding really is that there have been many attempts to really address specific behaviors rather than people.
Well, that's a nice phrase. I'm talking about file a police complaint,
yeah,
for criminal behavior. Now they're making every single action in that area will be criminal by people who are completely innocent and simply trying to exercise the right,
yeah,
First Amendment right to...
Yeah.
Petition the government for a redress of grievances. You may have heard of that First Amendment. It's been around, you know,
for a little while.
Long,
right,
time. But it isn't,
yeah,
respected at City Hall, and it hasn't been respected in Santa Cruz generally for poor people in the United States, I would think,
yeah,
generally for poor people. But Santa Cruz is unfortunately what you are empowered with at least represented here.
Right.
Right. So your answer is you just don't know whether to support this or not.
Well, I mean, to your point a minute ago, that for all intents and purposes, if I'm not,
right,
a yes, then I'm a no, or if I'm not a no, then I'm a yes. So, I mean, that we can go that route.
So, put it in your own words.
Well, I mean, I think you're right. You know, I'm not ready to say we should pull down the signs right now. I think that we need to be doing something.
Will you be willing to pull down the signs so the public hearings could be held on them before they are put up, just on the whim of Martin Bernal and his Parks and Rec department? In other words, are you a cabal of public officials has decided to do this behind closed doors? Don't you think the public has the right to weigh in on this?
But my understanding is it's an administrative decision, which is why it doesn't come to council.
It doesn't matter. You can still bring it to council. You can put it on the agenda for the 23rd.
I imagine we'll hear about it on the 23rd,
no,
whether it's on the agenda or not.
You will bring it to the,
yeah,
agenda on the 23rd, is my question to you.
I wasn't intending to bring it on the 23rd.
Will you bring it to city council on the 23rd?
No, I will not bring it to council on the 23rd. Sure.
So, there are survival sleepers outside, and you see them all the time for the last 5 weeks, particularly after the end of the closing of the shelter, the non-armory shelter, actually, now. There are numerous things you can do to support these people. I want to give you this list of possible things you might be interested in doing.
Yep.
Highly unlikely, but still, you know, you are not just a mayor, you're a human being.
True.
And human beings have been known to support people in need outside rather than simply criminalize them and sweep them away with sweet sweepers who have all kinds of problems because people jump on their street sweeper after they keep going up and down and up and down in an obvious attempt to wake people up and drive them away, and then they accuse these people of obstructing what they're doing. Right. So, nonetheless, you're a human being. You have a concern about these issues. Would you like to sign up to support the nightly survival sleepers at City Hall in some way?
I'll look at the whole list and see.
I'm going through it.
I've given blankets and things before.
Would you like to give some more?
Sure.
When will you be giving some blankets?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So we can't really expect any blankets from you at any definite time soon, correct?
Well, at some point, but I don't know today if I can say what date that will be.
But you think in the next week you'll be giving out blankets?
I will give blankets at some point.
I'm not trying to pressure you. I don't care if you give up. I don't give out blankets. There are plenty of people who do, and there are,
right,
plenty of people. There are some people who do, and
yeah,
there are plenty of people there. They need blankets. But it's not your or my responsibility to do that as individuals. I'm just wondering if you are committing yourself to doing that.
Sure, I'll do that.
Okay. Would you like to, some of the stuff is internal. You could try to lobby, you could plan for a daytime sit-in with the city manager's office and join us.
Does it count when I'm sitting at my desk?
It depends on what position you're taking while you're sitting at your desk. A lot of this stuff is recommendations to activists. So let me get back to questions to you.
Okay.
Will you direct City Manager Martin Bernal to open the city's bathrooms at least during the day? They're not open today, so people cannot use them. This means that the city staff has a great opportunity to complain about feces and urine, and it's a great opportunity to create new laws to criminalize them because they're so dirty and filthy, because officials like yourself are not insisting that those bathrooms be open. Are you prepared to request publicly they be open?
Sure.
Okay. When will you be doing that?
I have a meeting with him this week.
Okay. Will you make that as a public announcement at City Council meeting on the 23rd?
Sure.
I'm glad to hear it. And pleasantly surprised.
I thought that they were open all the time. My understanding is each time we've talked about it is that when they are open, they oftentimes get vandalized, and then they're inoperable, and then they get closed again. And I don't know what to do about that.
It has happened on occasion, but the idea that they're always or regularly vandalized that way is not my understanding. And also, as far as I was asking about opening them during the day, now I'm asking about opening them during the night, which is a time when people really don't have any place to go at all.
Right. That I would need to get more information about, because my understanding on that is it's consistent with what we do in all the parks.
And that's a good thing?
Well, I still think we need 24-hour bathrooms, period.
But
I'm not sure that these need to be the ones.
Any bathroom at all be open, but you'll say, we sure need them, but gosh, I'm not going to recommend that any be open.
Well, no, I want to be consistent in whatever we're doing. I think that we need 24-hour bathrooms, absolutely.
So
right now
they're consistently closed, and you're going to be supporting that position until you decide there's a new consistent position where they're going to be open.
Well, that's not what I said.
I'm sorry, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is, I think we need 24-hour bathrooms. I'm not sure that these are the specific bathrooms that we need to have open, but we should have 24-hour bathrooms.
We'll demand that a particular set of 24-hour bathrooms be open forthwith. I don't care
sure.
where they are. You will.
Sure.
Okay, which one? And are you going to say, I won't know what they are until I've done a six-month study? Or
I don't think it needs 6 months, but I can find out what the... I actually wasn't clear when the ones down on the corner of Lincoln and...
There was one 24 bathroom open
Cedar.
For half a year.
Yeah. And then now they're being locked, but I'm not sure when they're...
Those are porta potties. They aren't bathrooms. I'm talking about bathrooms. Porta potties are
right.
nice, but they don't have real cleaning facilities.
Right.
The disabled people can't effectively use them. They get easily filled with crap.
So let me follow up on that, and I will let you know the bathroom outcome.
So it may not be fair to Mayor Chase. However, the bathrooms were not opened that day. They were not opened the next day, nor were they not opened the day after that, nor were they opened today, as far as I've heard. So if she met with Martine Bernal, quote, later in the week, she either was ineffective in persuading him to open them or didn't do it in some way. And in any case, she has not communicated with me by email or phone as to the outcome of any of these discussions. I think I'll probably be following up with an email, although, again, my point is not to waste a lot of time and energy getting some swishy response from her, you know, like she will follow up and let me know the bathroom outcome. I want to see her say, yes, I want those bathrooms open. Yes, I will demand they be open. And I will continue to take that position because it's a position that is a sane, a sensible, and humane position that, unless I take it, it hurts people who are disabled and elderly who are out there tonight. But she won't take it. At least I don't hear her taking it in this discussion. As I've said sort of sarcastically, what does it take? Bringing bags of shit to city council to suggest to them that these now have to be disposed of because you had no bathrooms open for the last 3 nights. Please do it for us so you can do so in a sensible and clean way. You know, or does it take taking a dump on the floor of the city council chambers? I know this is, of course, outrageous to middle-class sensibilities. Well, this will alienate all the people who might be giving large donations. The people giving large donations doesn't seem to help open up the bathrooms is the problem. And I'm not suggesting this is an effective means of opening up the bathrooms or of persuading the community. But I'm not suggesting it isn't either, in a way. I mean, I'm saying that sometimes you need some dramatic and straightforward activity, some direct action. And I sure hope folks bring their sleeping bags to City Hall on May 23rd. I hope they get themselves down to the front of city council chambers tonight and actually during the day today and tomorrow and whenever they can spend time down there, because it looks like at least some people want to make it an ongoing protest, which to me was how it should have begun in 2015 with the Freedom Sleepers, which might have actually had some real force, because we had about 70 to 100 people at least in the march, and we had 20 or 30 people sleeping overnight who were many of whom were housed. And if that had continued night after night, it might have been a very successful, it might have at least produced some immediate responses from the city council and from and garnered more activity from the community instead of this weekly Tuesday thing that happened over the last 2 years. But I have to say also, as I said before, that has produced the sidewalk sleeping situation and has produced the current situation, which I guess some are blaming on the Freedom Sleepers for the closing of City Hall instead of course, pointing to the real criminals. Criminals in the sense that they are conspiring to deny the public access to public spaces in order to hurt the poorest part of the population by excluding them from these areas and excluding them from public facilities and ignoring the most crying needs in the community and punishing them for meeting those needs, to wit, sleep.
So, actually, you don't need to let me know. You need to let the community know and make sure they're open. And then we'll say, wow, Mayor Chase actually did what she said she was going to do and opened the bathrooms.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
It would actually relieve a burden.
Yes, well, no kidding.
Okay. You agreed, and I was pleasantly surprised to read this about 2 months ago, maybe it was, when I requested of all the council members that they, I requested of the mayor specifically, because you're the figurehead of the city, that you make your lobbyists appointments that you've had in the last, and lobbyists could be me, I'm lobbying or something, available as a list so that people can see what kind of pressures you've had on you, what kind of conversations you've had. They might want to ask you about those conversations, they might want to inquire further about communications you've had. You've agreed to make that list available. I haven't received it yet, so I'm wondering if you got a copy of that available for me today.
I need more clarification on who do you consider lobbyists? That any meeting that I have with anyone, is that organized group?
If you meet with someone for more than 15 minutes.
Individual or group?
If individuals or groups, if it is about a specific issue.
Okay.
And the reason I say that, and there's some individuals, some individuals are very powerful in the city. They have a lot of money, they have a lot of power, they may have contributed to your campaign, for all I know. I'm not saying you're corrupt in that regard. I don't accuse city officials of being financially corrupt. It doesn't mean they're not, but I don't accuse them of that. I have no evidence, and that's not my interest. I don't have expertise in that area, so I can't honestly proceed. Plus, I find the whole thing really distasteful, and I don't like it. What I am clear on is a more profound kind of corruption, which is studying things to death and doing nothing while people suffer. That I find to be intolerable, or actually quite tolerable. I'm quite comfortable in my life, but I find it intellectually intolerable. So, you are. You also agreed to announce any public appearances you'll be having. I have not seen such announcements yet, and here we are here in May. So, are you going to be doing that, or is that another something that I should groan and grumble about on the radio?
So, any public appearance that I'm scheduled to do?
This gives people who would be threatened with arrest at city council, but who want to know where you're meeting. They want to protest, they want to support you. This is great, Cynthia. Last year,
24-hour bathroom, right? Some of the support.
What's that?
If she implements 24-hour, the city, if she's able to help the city implement some 24-hour bathrooms, that would be something to praise.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about her public meetings. We're talking about her announcing her
this
public
meetings. This is Wes White, who's asking questions as well.
And her being you. Forgive me for referring to you in the third person. So you are, you don't have such a list of public meetings available for me now, perhaps?
No, I can tell you what's on my calendar for this week or what's coming up. I don't have a ton of them that are scheduled. Most of the things I do are like ribbon cuttings.
Tell me anything, those are good. Tell me anything after Thursday night, because that will be meetings that people, when they hear this broadcast, might choose to attend, at least would know about.
Do you want to know also, like, the other commissions or committees I serve on, like RTC, Metro, stuff like that?
Sure, those are public meetings.
Yeah, they're public meetings, they're noticed. I mean, that does sort of feel
that's,
like they're kind of covered.
To find out.
Yeah.
Still, you know, mention them if you think, in the next, let's say in the next 2 weeks, if you have anything that you wish to, you're coming to.
I have a transportation and policy work group on the 18th.
Open to the public?
Open to the public.
Mm-hmm. Where is it?
That is at the Regional Transportation Commission, site on Pacific and their offices.
Where would that be?
It's on, I don't have the actual address. I can Google it really quickly. It's on Pacific.
Time of the meeting is?
At 9 a.m.
Okay.
And then people
can also Google that. You're right.
They can Google that. Metro meeting I have, it's which in is 475 Main Street, City Hall, Chambers, in Watsonville. Also 9 a.m. That's this Friday.
Okay. Are those monthly meetings that typically meet on the like last Friday of the month or something?
So Metro is once a month. It's the last, actually it's the third Friday of the month. It rotates locations to all the cities and the county, and those are all posted on the Metro website. The Transportation Policy Work Group is every second week on Thursdays. That doesn't always happen. That's a Regional Transportation Commission meeting, and then there's a... Regional Transportation actual meeting, that's the first Thursday of the month, that also rotates the same locations as the Metro does.
If we had more time, I'd ask you if there's any specifics here that would impact poor people, but unfortunately I've got a bunch of stuff I want to get through.
Yeah,
anything,
okay.
Any ribbon-cutting ceremony stuff that wouldn't be announced?
Meetings no,
with the Downtown Association.
I have no DTA. I'm not on that
Santa
commission, so I tend to not do that.
Santa Cruz, all my favorite groups. You know,
nothing with
Take Back
Santa Cruz. I had a meeting last Friday with Dr. Leff, Arnie Leff, from the county.
Public?
Public health director for...
Was he public? Was this meeting public?
That was not public, no.
That's for more the nature of lobbyists. I was thinking we're talking now about ribbon cutting.
Okay.
I didn't want to hear about those.
Yeah.
I would also, are you prepared to, I think you said you were, make sure that any emails that you have, public or private, that concern public issues, whether on a public server or a private server.
Yeah, those are all, anything that's accessible via public records request, absolutely. I'll give all those things.
Okay, I mean, I don't doubt you specifically. I haven't tried to do that. And we'll see what's happening.
Okay.
But if it comes
sure.
up. So, what about the bathrooms at night? We have individuals
yeah.
who are here at night who are then accused of poo-pooing and pee-peeing, for heaven's sake. Why would they do that? You have your own private bathroom. You used it right before we went actually to this meeting.
True.
So, they can't even use it now because there's no bathroom open outside. You could walk to Martine's office right now and say, Martine, I really appreciate it if you opened the bathrooms today. There are people out front who I'm afraid may be despoiling the scenery with their waste products. Are you prepared to do that?
Am I prepared to do what?
Walk to Martine for now.
Oh, it's not open right now?
No.
Okay, well, I'll go ask why it's not open.
Thank you.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Not ask why it's not open, but could you please open it?
Absolutely.
There's a distinction.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why it wouldn't be open.
Will you advise me by email of his answer? On
sure.
That?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember the first thing that I said I was going to follow up on?
I'm not sure, but I have it on tape.
And
that's perfect. Okay.
It's
a proceed.
As mentioned before, she never emailed me, and this was Monday we had that conversation. Today is Thursday. The bathrooms were not opened, and I heard nothing more from her.
See what's happening.
Okay.
If it comes
sure.
up. So, what about the bathrooms at night? We have individuals
yeah.
who are here at night who are then accused of poo-pooing and pee-peeing, for heaven's sake. Why would they do that? You have your own private bathroom. You used it right before we went actually to this meeting.
True.
So, they can't even use it now because there's no bathroom open outside. You could walk to Martine's office right now and say, Martine, I'd really appreciate it if you opened the bathrooms today. There are people out front who I'm afraid may be despoiling the scenery with their waste products. Are you prepared to do that?
Am I prepared to do what?
Walk to Martine for now.
It's not open right now?
No.
Okay, well, I'll go ask why it's not open.
Thank you.
Sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Not ask why it's not open, but could you please open it?
Absolutely.
There's a distinction.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why it wouldn't be open.
Will you advise me by email of his answer? On
sure.
That?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember the first thing that I said I was going to follow up on?
I'm not sure, but I have it on tape.
You can tell me. That's perfect. Okay. It's a procedure. I was going to look up a procedure. Oh, I know what it is. I got it.
It was.
Yes.
I was asking if you will publicly support restoring
citations.
Actually, not even restoring. It's creating a process where before a policeman gives a citation for being in a closed area or sleeping at night, unless there's a public health and safety issue that they can, that's another matter, calling the shelter, the pseudo shelter, there is no shelter, there's a bunch of waiting lists, and say, do you have a bed for this for Cherie tonight? Or should I just tell her to move along and give her a ticket that she can't pay? What do you think I should? In other words, will you agree to do this? And you were telling me, well, no, there are alternate methods. Maybe.
Yes, so I was going to look into that. Okay,
if you got such a thing, tell me.
I will. I'm going to follow up. This is my list of follow-up things for you, so I'll be sending you an email.
Okay, that sounds good. Will you support an immediate rent freeze and just eviction protections, at least as far as they are in San Jose? I don't know if you've read them yet.
No, I need to read them.
That's in the San Jose Mercury News. You'll probably find them. And if they're not, clearly, you can always contact the San Jose
City Council. I thought this article was sent to me this week.
And I just want to emphasize that Chase's real answer to my question about a police officer before they ticket or harass a homeless person, or before they even approach them, determine if there's a shelter bed available, and then if there isn't one, move on, unless the person is guilty of some other crime. I'd already asked that question. She said, well, I'm going to look into that. I want to find out. I think there's another process. And, you know, I mean, could all be true. But, of course, she evades committing herself to, I said, if there is no other process, will you support and ask the police and publicly request at City Council or wherever that this whole situation be changed? And her answer was no, at least not until she's done some more research on the issue. And it's always very nice to do more research on the issue. But she said, even if my point was, if her research proved unavailing, would she do it anyway? Would she stand up on this issue? And her answer was, she would not commit to doing that. And that really is the answer. And I emphasize it again because Cynthia Chase is such a friendly person and so, frankly, sweet and in her self-presentation that these kinds of hard issues get fuzzied when she says, you know, I'll look into that. I'm concerned about that too, blah, 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 blah. Which is, it's not just blah, 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 blah. I'm sure she genuinely feels that way. But when it comes to where the rubber meets the road, the hard issue of what the choice is going to be, it's my sense the choice has already been made, even if this politician isn't aware of it, because she will not commit herself to the obvious, sensible choice that a person on the street would make. She won't say that because she is really answerable to other authorities, like Martine Bernal, the city attorney, financial backers, the council majority, you name it. She doesn't say this, and maybe doesn't even think it. It sits somewhere in the back of her mind in her considerations and impacts what she says. And so she can provide some soft talk that is sincerely meant. I think she does probably chat with Cherie outside, the 60 to 70-year-old homeless woman outside who is sleeping out there because they were all ousted from the winter shelter when the winter shelter program ended. She probably is concerned about that. Who isn't? Donald Trump is probably concerned about it in his own way. That's not the issue. The issue is, and from their positions of power, what policies are they supporting or, if not supporting, allowing to continue? And it's really clear what she is allowing to continue by her answers. And I'm trying to frame the questions. I encourage others to do the same so that the hard questions have to be answered now. Not tomorrow, not a week, not after a lot of research and understanding, but now. And you can always do it as a hypothetical. You can say, Okay, if you find all this is wrong, will you, if you find all this, nothing exists, will you support allowing homeless people to sleep at night legally, period, somewhere? And if she can't say yes to that, then further conversation on the subject is really pointless. What you need to do is get more power behind you to make the changes that need to be made, and to suddenly change the powerful impact of the folks that these politicians are really answering to, whether they're aware of it or not.
Actually, I think
there's one in the Business Weekly that is more elaborate. It gives the actual.
We're talking about the San Jose rent control and chest eviction protections.
You have to cite one of them if you're going to break a lease, which doesn't really help monthly renters. But
it was an ordinance change, they did?
It was an ordinance change.
Okay.
And then it was made an emergency ordinance because landlords were going to suddenly, and they raise all their rents.
Did this come up? There was a version of this that came up a year or two ago there, too, that I was paying attention to, but I don't know
in
if it passed. No, in San Jose.
I believe so. I'm not sure, you know, about the specifics.
All right, I'll look into that.
Okay, and you're saying you're going to look into that, but would you support an immediate rent freeze and just renter protection here? Yes.
So consistent with our process, and I will say no on that until I have further information.
Okay. So it's no. What do you feel you've done to restore basic human rights to homeless people in Santa Cruz in your two-year term?
Mm.
Or do you feel such restoration isn't even an issue here?
And before she gets into that one, again, the answer to the rent control, she needs some more time to consider it. The proper follow-up question, which I didn't ask, is, so if you find, what information could you find that would lead you to support immediate rent control or renter protection? What kind of things are you looking for that would actually influence you in that direction? Or are you just sort of saying, gee, I don't know, I'm kind of wandering around and I'll see what I find. I'll get back to you later.
Well, I definitely feel like it's an issue. You know, I try very hard to approach every issue that we have from a human perspective and looking at what people actually suffering and how I can alleviate that.
So is Rochelle Narayan, and so is Martine Bernal.
Well, I can't speak for others. I can only speak for myself.
I mean,
yeah.
They're like yourself. They're decent human beings.
Yeah.
So do certain individuals in Germany in 1933.
Wow.
That
one hurt, Robert. We're going there, are we?
It's a real human problem that people who are very good people are in positions that suddenly require them to behave in inhuman ways. That's the problem for politicians.
People do follow orders.
It's true. I mean, you know, what was the specific question? What have I specifically done?
Well, what have you done
I'm sure
to restore
not enough.
Human... Well, no. What have you done specifically at all to restore human rights that you're aware of?
I think that...
Or human services. I mean,
yeah.
You can talk about that if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, you know, community programs, the work in community programs, I think is really important. I mean, looking... One of the things that I'm really interested in doing is shifting our policy perspective to looking at what has been predominantly criminal justice responses to public health responses.
This is pretty abstract. Now I'm talking about the people outside right now and the specific things you've done in the last 2 years. I know there's all kinds of studies going on. You know, I sat through a lot of this crap as far as I'm concerned, you know, on last Tuesday. So, but I mean, do you remember anything that you, any votes you said, oh, that, you know, I want to support the rights of homeless people here, or I want to support services that have been denied them here. You might have, the answer no is a legitimate answer, and it doesn't mean you're a demon. So, you know, obviously it's going to run you trying.
Even if I care about people, I'm still in the same category as Hitler.
And so far,
exactly. I mean,
yeah, I mean, any politician who takes positions that criminalize people takes the position of criminalizing people. Now, obviously, you're not shooting homeless people.
No, I have not done that.
You're just driving them away from areas where they might have some community and be more likely to survive to situations where they're less likely to survive. So your hands are clean. There's no need to worry about that. But there is a reality. So nothing. I hear nothing that you remember yet.
I can, you know, the supporting 24-hour bathrooms, I think, those are sort of relatively small things, though, I think, in the context of looking at overall policy changes. That, to me, is where the actual work is done.
Are you prepared to say, then, for instance, that you will take a stand that says, I
Not that I want to see 24-hour bathrooms after we can find a consistent policy that deals with a non-criminal justice-related, very appropriate approach after some consideration. But within the next 3 weeks, I want to see a bathroom open in 24 hours. And if I don't, I will be opposed to those who are stopping it from opening, because it could be opened by a city council. You can put it on the agenda and say 24-hour bathrooms, open them up at the following locations. Or, choose your location, but open it within 2 weeks. Do it. You prepared to do that?
To open a 24-hour bathroom? Yes.
Would put it on the agenda of the May 23rd city council meeting.
I'm not sure if it needs to be on the agenda, but we're going to talk about it there anyway. I mean, that's fine. We can follow up on the 24-hour.
With a deadline saying to the staff, and you could be voted down.
Right.
They could say no. It's impossible. We have too busy clearing away homeless people from the front of the area. We can't do that. We have to blow away those leaves. We have to garden the area. That's more important.
What about a legal place for anybody to be within city limits? Is that a possibility at all? Is it only along the sidewalks that, as far as people can get by, or?
They'll do a lot of research on that one. Let me tell you the history of that. The history of that is I spent 6 months looking for a place, and I just couldn't find a place for those homeless people. There's just no space at all.
A shelter?
Santa Cruz,
we're going to have a shelter.
Okay, I'm talking about the majority of homeless people, not the minority. Shelters never provide for the majority of homeless people in any city that I've ever heard of. They form encampments and so forth, and you're destroying their encampment. Your city is attempting to destroy their encampments, and you're not standing against that. You've not said that. You said, no, I will support the existence of these signs until otherwise. That drives away. That criminalizes those people out there. They risk arrest every minute they're out there. I risked arrest if I put a bag down out there, according to the signs. But the police are giving them a grace period. See, that's very sweet. You've told me you support that at the present time until you learn otherwise. Is that
I mean, you give me a no or a yes option.
Well,
you can
do whatever option you want, but I mean, will you take a public position to remove those signs before May 23rd?
Not before May 23rd.
Right, and see, that means for the next 2 weeks, anybody there will be criminalized. So therefore, at least for the next 2 weeks, you support them. So I'm not really putting words in your mouth. They're forcing you to take a no or a yes option. You can say whatever you want.
Well, it becomes a forced answer, right? If you give me you can't turn right, you have to go this way, right?
No. I just say before May 23rd, are you prepared to stand up and say, or put on the May 23rd agenda, I favor removing those signs because I see no legal place for homeless people to go. I know it's inconvenient to have them there, but it's obviously, unless you provide another place, there is no place for them to go. So will you put that on the May 23rd agenda?
No.
Okay. That's not an unfair question, right? It's a difficult question for you. It exposes and gets you past all the, we're really thinking about all that. Gee, gosh, we should consider, I have to talk some more with Martine Bernal. No is really the answer underneath that, unless you hear some, great wisdom from the real boss of the city.
Nothing's that black and white. I just disagree with you on that.
It is.
Nothing's that black and white for anybody.
In what sense is this not a clear issue to you?
I mean, getting more information in order to make a decision, to me, is not a bad thing.
It depends on what happens while you're getting the information.
It certainly does. I completely agree with you about that. Yeah, but I think that there's a gray area in that. I think that there is ways in which someone can give you a straight answer and then not actually be able to follow through, or give you an answer and then, actually that's not real or true for them. So for me, I would rather get more information and come back to you with a well-researched answer than just to say yes or no to you.
Well, that's a very...
Right. But you can also see the writing on the wall or what's at the end of the tunnel, too. You kind of know where you're going.
Well, what I'm saying is I want to get as much information about this that I'm making a thorough decision. And if you want to know, am I going to put that on the agenda, then no, I will say that. No, I won't do that right now because I don't have enough information to give you anything more than that. I can't give you a maybe. That's not an option, right?
Well, of course you can. You can say maybe.
You'll accept a maybe? I didn't know that was an option, and I'll start saying maybes all the time.
You're a human being who has a right to say anything you want.
It's true.
But the issue is, you can't say maybe, I'll put it on the agenda.
Yeah, maybe to almost all of these things. Truly, Robert, maybe.
Uh-huh. That's an answer. You gave your answer.
I'm going to start saying maybe to you. I am so excited to learn that I'm able to say maybe to you.
But you're not agreeing to do it now.
True.
That's great.
That's true.
You want more information.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, this is a kind of specific question.
Okay.
Can you determine how much money the city spends annually funding visitors' bathrooms? You may be familiar with these.
Yeah.
In the downtown area, including the Bookshop Santa Cruz. There used to be three of them, Peace of My Heart, Cafe Gratitude, Bookshop Santa Cruz.
Right.
Now there's only one as far as I know. Maybe you know of another one. And I want to know that because as far as I know, those bathrooms have to be open to the public if they're funded by the city. It cannot be at the whim of the management of those places, and I've been told by certain homeless people they've been denied access to them by the Coonerties, who, by the way, generally have a very good record of allowing people into their bathrooms. They have banned me for 20 years, 23 years, actually, but that's...
Not that you're counting.
I mean, I'm a very bad poo-pooer. I can't do it, I never have proper toilet training.
Well,
that's one of the reasons I'm so complaining and so cranky.
Is that what it is? Because I can get you proper toilet training. If that would make
you
more... Yes. If that would make you stop saying to me that you're not welcome when I thank you for you speaking.
But I am honest about that, so I'm not trying to be personal to you.
I don't take it personally.
Well, you were concerned, I remember, the first time I turned my back on you. You kept saying, Robert, turn around.
Well, I want it to be recorded. They can't hear us now as it is. But it's fine. If you want to talk to everybody, I'm not going to get...
Well, I think if I shout loud enough, they can still hear.
I think that's true.
Yeah, you get picked up on the mic, too.
Actually, that's not true. Chase's answer that, she simply wanted to make sure that I could be recorded. She stopped the meeting and conferred with others, and the only reason that was done, it had to be, was to see if I should be accused of disrupting the meeting and have me arrested. So, that, I think I'm remembering correctly, that was actually, I think it was a year ago when she was taking over for Cynthia Matthews, who was then mayor. But the impression I got was she kept demanding that I turn around, and it was essentially on threat of arrest. So she either doesn't remember it, perhaps I'm misremembering it, because I got this kind of treatment from other mayors at different times, or she's simply not being candid about it. Or if you will, she's lying about it. It's hard to think of that about so pleasant a person as Cynthia Chase. You don't want to think of her as being a liar or someone who misrepresents, because she seems to be genuinely concerned about going at the issues with you. Again, I pause to make this comment because it is my concern that either she's forgotten some convenient facts, and it's possible I'm misremembering them, but my recollection of that entire incident was that it really was a key moment. I was sufficiently concerned about it that I wrote her later to get her to be reassured that she was not going to, when she was mayor, attempt to harass people who do different things at the microphone that are unconventional or show disrespect for a city council that richly deserves the disrespect that's being shown to it, whether she thinks it deserves it or not. And I got no response from her on that. I didn't get the response, Robert, I was just trying to, make sure that you could be heard by the public. That was one of the things she said at the time, but if she had stopped there, it would have been different. Now, it is true that since that time, she has not attempted to interfere when I've turned my back on the council, which is done both to show disrespect to the council, but more important, to address the audience and to demonstrate to the audience that we need to talk with each other, not with this group of mucky mucks who has got us all in the muck. So, on with the Cynthia Chase interview. You're listening to Cynthia Chase talking with me and with Salinas activist Wes White for an hour, which is more than Cynthia Matthews refused to have an interview. And other mayors, has sometimes granted interviews. But again, none of the promises about sending me a list of things that she's going to do, letting me know about the bathrooms by email, getting back to me on any of these issues, has happened yet. And it is 4 or 5 days later. So, well, 3 or 4 days later. 2 or 3 days later? Anyway, it's later.
Our microphones have not been notoriously been very good.
No, and I'm glad to see, I take it you're no longer enforcing the put your microphone at the mic and we'll arrest you approach, which was being used the last few years.
I'm not interested in that.
I'm glad, because I assure you I will not go quietly.
And I was referring, of course, to the audio recording devices that I usually put up near the speaker's podium to catch some of what's being said. It doesn't always do a very good job, nor does it do a good job if it's in other places in the room, but I do what I can. And I have been under Matthews, Lane, Comstock, actually it wasn't Comstock, Brandt, Robinson, these are the previous mayors. I was threatened with arrest. I was actually arrested at one point by Robinson, and taken out of the chambers. And the DA didn't press charges, of course, because I wasn't disrupting anything. It was the city council disrupting itself. But I'm glad to see that Chase sees this as foolish stuff, or at least she doesn't want to get into that thicket. So that's fine. But it actually just returns us to where we were before, which is recording the proceedings of a city council that has no interest in the rights of tenants, poor people, workers, and is primarily a tool for developers and other interests and in the pocket of the staff and the city manager.
I have no doubt.
I mean, I will go quietly so as not to be accused of disrupting the meeting, but there may be some repercussions afterward. If I can find some crazy attorney, you know, who wants to deal with that. You're familiar with that whole situation?
Vaguely. I'm actually really, I don't care where you
are. Good, I'm glad. So. I mean, it's just bullshit. This whole thing is silly. So, would you be willing to support an immediate emergency shelter in a city-owned building during the summer for vulnerable women, children, and elders, obviously? You say, oh, sure, great idea. Now, the question is, are you willing to do so in a specific way, even if others oppose it and want to postpone it for a period of time to consider it longer, or look for a involvement with the county first so we can do, or possibly with some nonprofits so we can, in other words, are you willing to take independent action to make sure this happens?
Specifically for that population is what you want it for?
Correct.
Okay.
And should I then invite elderly and homeless people to come in and confer with you about the best way to proceed to get this done so that, for example, as you support the signs that drive them away from here at night, mm-hmm. they can sort of shiver as they're outside waiting for you to do something about this situation?
I'm totally in support of an emergency shelter as soon as we can possibly do it. I just didn't know you were specifically looking one for this defined population.
If there were an earthquake tomorrow, you would do emergency shelter the next night. Don't kid me. Mm-hmm. It would happen. You can advocate for it in that same way. If you wish, you have not chosen to do so far. True?
I advocated for an emergency shelter to be done immediately.
Not in the way of an emergency that happens with an earthquake. And similarly, at the city council meeting on May 9th, there was a suggestion that there be an emergency shelter declaration, which you did not support.
Because it didn't get anything anywhere. We looked into that. It didn't actually produce anything. So we can declare it. I mean, I could declare bankruptcy, right? Like, I'm just making a declaration. It's not actually doing anything.
However, it does indicate that something is an emergency and should be done in a way that puts it in a greater priority than giving it to committees to kick around or a public safety task force to play with while they're criminalizing homeless people all the while. In other words, there have been 3 emergency declarations already. They were in the 90s. They weren't the emergency declaration that allows you to suspend laws, which you can still do, as I understand it. You haven't done that. I don't know where you got the notion that has no effect. It does.
When we looked into this was the first thing that the committee. When the committee looked into it, it got literally no substantive changes to anything. It didn't get funding. It didn't get resources. It didn't get the ability to do anything differently.
Do you have a copy of the...
it's in there's a 60-page appendix to this.
And it's in there.
It's in there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was one of the first things we looked at was, if we do this, are we going to be able, is it going to bring in some resources, some ability for us to do things actually to address the issue?
Well, resources, it'll require you to expend resources.
Right.
It's like an emergency that happens when there's an earthquake. You might get resources from other places for that, but the point is that you take action yourselves. You haven't decided to do that, and I don't see that...
But we did decide to do it. It's right here.
This is not... There's nothing in here that has any... You're going to claim that you're claiming that on the 23rd we're going to see all kinds of specific deadlines.
You're going to see specific outcomes for funding of where we can put
any deadlines?
To the extent that we can give you a deadline, yes. Some of them, I think, will have very specific deadlines because we know the timeline is really short to get them done. And
see, this is hogwash. If you want to open an emergency shelter, you take a city building that's owned, you staff it, and the next night you open the shelter there. That was what's done with the Association of Faith Communities. The notion that you have to sort of, you know, gosh, how soon can it be done, and we have to really research this, and that sort of thing is dilatory. It is a delay. It is a way of evading the issue or postponing the issue or studying the issue to death. Although probably not intended as such, that's what it is. At least that's been my experience watching city councils past, and I suspect it applies even more strongly to this city council.
Then some things will maybe be like by X months.
Now, is this going to be a 7 o'clock meeting or a 3 afternoon?
That is, it begins in the afternoon session, so I think it's 7 o'clock. I have to look at the agenda.
Okay.
Budget hearings are in the evening, 7 o'clock.
So we're talking about the 3-day budget hearings, right?
Yes. They begin Tuesday.
So this is not the your standard city council meeting. This is going to be the one that people who have really hard asses can come and sit through for a long...
Yes, they can bring pillows.
They can bring a pillow. But don't block the aisles. It's illegal in city council. Please don't stand by the sides of the aisles. Have you seen many signs that are posted there?
No.
The fire marshal has declared. Now, the police were informing me, don't give out that petition because you're blocked. I said, forget it. I'm giving out the petition. So that's happening in your city council. You should be aware that...
Okay.
Actually, the police, let me be honest, Mark Evelis was not telling me not to circulate the petition, but he was saying, you can't stand here,
oh,
or I'd appreciate if you don't stand here, even though I wasn't blocking anything. And I said, I just sort of said, you know, Mark, I'm giving out a petition. He backed up. But most people would, in a docile manner, move in it because the police officer tells them to do, and they do what the police tell them to do.
Yeah.
Some people are just, you know, that way.
And stuff I didn't mention to her is that the city council, lining the city council wall with police officers, the meeting after Chief Vogel was exposed as someone who had an ICE officer in his station for the last 8 years, and who also had colluded with ICE in holding people in a previous agreement with the DHS and ICE, according to the DHS spokesperson, which produced an outraged response at the February 14th City Council meeting, but that 2 weeks later, instead you had massive police presence there along the wall filling the room, lining the wall. I think there were 9 to 12 police officers there, and preventing people from coming in the numbers that they came in on February 14th using this fire marshal pretext. And Chase has been mayor throughout this entire time, and haven't heard much about her. Didn't ask much about that, which in a way is, perhaps it's too bad, although I don't know if... the real issue, again, as I said, is to expose how politicians talk and what is really the underlying message as distinguished from the apparent warm and fuzzy message.
I mean, almost the time, sadly enough. You know.
We have to wrap up.
Yeah, okay, program. Would you be willing to write to the Salinas City Council to encourage them to put in a waiting list exception in their ordinance? They have recently
passed. Tell me more about the ordinance, yeah.
The ordinance is a very, Wes can tell you about it, but it's primarily a very harsh ordinance that, however, does not mention the word sleep anywhere in the ordinance. However, if you carry camping equipment or blankets, or you lay down a blanket, or you have your possessions with you, and it looks like that's what's more than you can carry. What's the specific?
They've called it unlawful camping. Yes, if you leave anything behind, they will take it.
What can you sit down at night and sleep?
No, you can't be anywhere private, and you can't be anywhere public. So if you're laying down, basically, it's almost.
So what I'm asking is that.
Okay.
So what I'm asking on behalf of the Salinas people, which I haven't consulted, but it might be a good idea.
I know. I should look into that too.
Which is. Will you allow for a waiting list exception?
Waiting.
You understand what the waiting list is?